Hey, Lifebook VIPs, Jordan River here. I just wanted to let you know to check out a couple podcasts that my father, John Butcher, has been featured on. Ben Greenfield Fitness is a great podcast. You can go subscribe to that. And a one-on-one interview with my dad will be launching December 20th on that podcast. And also find him on the Money Advantage podcast. It's a great show. If you're looking for a show about wealth creation, check that out and make sure to look for the episode with my father. All right, everybody, without further ado, thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook VIP podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We have Life Vision today, Life Vision Month, and my father, John Butcher, is on the line. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Great to be here, as always.
Now, this is the category that you crush, man. When you're going on other podcasts, you were just featured on Ben Greenfield's podcast, loving Ben Greenfield's podcast, really hot right now. It's really cool that you went on that show. I don't know if you really grasp how awesome that is that you went on that show. And
well, I don't know. I don't know much about Ben's podcast, but I'll tell you one thing. That guy is just one of the best guys ever. He's just so fantastic. His wife is wonderful. I love spending time with Ben.
So this is the topic you covered. This is the topic that you really go into deep, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is where it all began.
Well, you know what? When I take a look at the 12 categories, Jordan, you know, Miss and I do really well across all the 12 categories because we've focused so much time and attention over the last 30 years on these different areas of life. But life vision, quality of life and life vision are the two that bubble up to the top where I would say if we had a real expertise in any of these categories, those are the two that we really shine in because we've just focused so much time and energy there. And those two are unusual categories. A lot of people focus on health and fitness. A lot of people focus on money, love, spirituality, you know, quality of life and life vision. Those are kind of unusual categories.
Yeah. And, you know, I would even say this thought just popped in my head. Very few people are missing any category except for life vision. No one's completely unaware of their health and fitness. You know what I mean? Is life
True,
vision a
yeah,
category that some people are literally just missing in their lives?
You're absolutely right. And I think that some of the other categories are a little bit lower on people's radars. Like for instance, the intellectual category, the character category,
right.
Quality of life. But you're right. Life vision is sometimes completely absent.
Yeah. Let's get on to these awesome questions, man.
Okay.
The first one comes from Dana. How has your life vision changed over time? When it changes, does it happen drastically all at once, or does it happen organically over time?
That's a great question, and I would say the answer is both. It happens little by little, and there can be a huge change all at once. So when I think back to how long Miss and I have been doing this, probably 25 years now that we've been focused on our life vision, and there was a time when the number one focus of our life vision was building our dream house. That took 5 years to do. And so that was just like a major focus until we moved into our dream house. And then, you know, things shift. Mm-hmm. Once you accomplish goals, it's like, awesome, I have this now. I'm going to enjoy it and just be happy with myself and very grateful. And I'm going to focus my energy on the next worthy accomplishment. So I think that another big milestone for us was when we decided to have kids. That was a big shift in our life vision, obviously.
Sometimes that happens all at once drastically. You can take it from
you
this
know
guy.
That, right?
That's the thing about life vision, man, is it can go either way. Sometimes it's something that's been percolating for a long time that you have an epiphany about. Sometimes it turns on a dime. Sometimes it takes a long time. It's just wildly unique and infinite like that.
I'll never forget when Ash got pregnant, Joe and you came to me and said, Dad, I'm not ready. And I said, dude, the universe will make you ready.
I just about had a breakdown. I had a cardiac arrest. It was the last thing on my radar. And of course, it turned out to be the greatest thing in my life, just like
well,
you said.
Well, am I not right, though? I mean, and everybody basically says this. You don't have to be ready. The universe makes you ready. When that happens to you, There's I don't know whether the change is chemical or internal or what the heck the mechanism is, mm-hmm. but you literally just drop into this place where you start behaving different. You just step up.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's probably a lot, you know, a little bit of everything with the biological and the spiritual, but you said it, nature would take its course, and that's what happens. And that's kind of how you need to treat everything in life. Is there any other better mode to go forth with?
No, there isn't. But I'll tell you something, Jordan. You went through Lifebook before you had kids. You should go through Lifebook again now.
Oh,
that you...
Oh, my God.
That,
yeah,
right?
Now
because
is the time.
It's going to be a whole different experience.
It is, and we were really up in the air for a long time since Julie's birth, and I feel like now would be the time to go through. So anyone listening, if you want to go through with me, let's do it. Get an accountability partner.
In the spring at our house here in Chicago.
That'd be perfect.
So let me continue with our big life vision transition. So I would say... building our dream house was one. Deciding to have kids was another. Deciding to launch certain companies. I've launched small companies like a wallpaper company or a little branding agency that didn't take a tremendous amount of time and effort and focus.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other companies, like for instance, launching Lifebook was a big deal. We really had to do some soul searching as to whether we wanted to do that. And we put a lot of time and energy into that over the last few years. The suite of businesses that we have right now, making the commitment to build companies around causes that matter, was a big shift in our life vision and really took us a lot of hard work for a lot of years. And then, of course, the last major life vision transition for us is the one that we're stepping into now. Day after tomorrow, we leave Chicago for the islands, and we're moving permanently to Hawaii. You know, we bought property there 17 years ago. So this has been part of our life vision for 17 years. We've known that we're going to end up there. But just in the last four, it has become the number one thing for us. It was a serious effort to get our lives ready to move, around the globe, across the ocean. Hawaii is the United States, but it's not really in a lot of ways. It's like moving to another country. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The way we live, the place we live, everything is going to be completely different. So this is a massive transition. I would say that the new life vision that we're stepping into right now, Jordan, the only thing I can compare that to that Missy and I have ever gone through is when we moved from Missouri to Illinois 28 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big this is. And the way we spend the hours of our days will completely change. What we focus on will completely change.
A lot of that seems unattainable. When you did make that move from Missouri to Chicago, did it really fall into place like that? Did the hours of your days change? Was it as drastic a change? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because sometimes it seems like
it does. And yes, the answer is yes. I mean, you change your environment, you change your life for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, we're the last 30 years for us has really been focused on, they've been our building years. We started when we were in our 20s. Well, we're in our 50s now. And we've really focused a lot on achievement and accomplishment and making things happen in this world that we want to see happen. So it's been a lot of external focus. Although, Miss and I are also very deeply there's been a lot of internal focus too.
Mm-hmm.
We were very self sort of conscious in the right kind of way. But I think the next chapter is going to be much more contemplative, much more philosophical, a lot more leisure time. I think we'll do our best work from this place, but we're not going to work as hard and as much. So we're just incredibly excited. And I'll tell you another thing that we're super thrilled about over the next couple years is we get to build another house. And I love building houses so much. I think, Jordan, I would have probably been an architect or a master builder in another life if I hadn't been handed the opportunities in this life that I'd been handed. That's how much I love it.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. Is it fair to say that the distance that your life vision projects just increases with age? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and I don't necessarily know that I would make that leap. I think I've always worked with a 5-year increment. I've always, when I think back to the earliest iteration of my life book, the life vision chapter has always been 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept that going all the way through this last chapter. What's so interesting is 5 years ago, 2013, I had a 5-year vision to get to Hawaii. And then it became a 4-year vision. Then
just pulled
three,
it
then
off.
Now it's literally less than a week.
Down to the wire.
Yep.
Love it.
And then so what's interesting, Jordan, is we can't see around this corner. We like, if you ask me what's my life vision 5 years from now, I literally don't know. And I can't know until we get there to the islands, get established. You know how sometimes you got to get a little farther down the path before you can see?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about our life right now. But, you know, I'll tell you, Lifebook members, this process really works. It really works. Missy and I are getting ready to step into a brand new life vision. You know, and we've had many of them that we stepped into, but this is a big one. And we got here by methodically working through the 12 categories, focusing on our vision for each of the categories, working through the boot camp process, and, you know, working every single day to get closer to our life vision. And now we're going to step into it. This process works.
Love exploring life vision. We've already gone off on a tangent here. Let's bring it back around. Dana has a second half to her question that's really phrased well. We've encountered this question before, but she says, how do you know to trust whether your vision is truly right for your life besides just wanting it really bad and being willing to do whatever it takes?
Well, if you want it really bad and you're willing to do whatever it takes, that's a big clue right there that you're pointed in the right direction.
It's a big plus, but also it's kind of like saying, like, your body craves what it wants. It's true, but then there's also, like, hard drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here's the best advice that I have. In week two of boot camp, we take people through the four questions that helps them really right-size their life vision and make sure, to the extent that they can, that their life vision is appropriate for them. Am I asking enough of myself? Am I asking too much of myself? Am I willing to pay the price to get this vision? And will the attainment of this vision make me truly happy? If you can answer, you know, those questions correctly, then you can know with a pretty high degree of certainty that your life vision is right for you. But there's one thing I want to say to Dana. When you say, how do you know to trust whether your vision is truly right for your life? This is your vision. Only you can decide. There's no formula. Mm-hmm. There is only one person that needs to be convinced, and it's you. There's no other decision maker. You are the only one that needs to agree with this life vision being the focus of your actions and your decisions and your words and your daily activities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, forget about anybody else. Forget about any formula. It's got to sit well with you. You've got to believe in it. You've got to be comfortable with it. This is your life. Only you can decide whether or not the path that you've chosen for yourself is the right path. And that's what we're trying to do at Lifebook. We're trying to help people just really dial into that self-reliant, autonomous, independent, self-esteem-oriented, empowered mm-hmm. place mm-hmm. where they can move their life forward with confidence, with their own confidence in their own plan. And we're here to support as much as we can.
In a world of infinite possibilities and infinite or, you know, as little risk as you want to take. Good luck, Dana, seriously.
Yep, for sure.
Next question coming from James. How do you balance between knowing and manifesting your life's dream with daily visualization, intention, and action, and releasing expectation of how it will ultimately come to pass? At what point do you take matters into your own hands, and at what point do you surrender to the flow of the universe?
I wake up every day and take matters into my own hands, and I go to sleep every night and surrender to the universe.
Wow.
That's as close as I can answer that
That's
question.
That's really powerful, man.
It's a dance. It's a dance between intention and allowing. The universe is not, the universe will never hand you a 12-category smart life. The universe doesn't owe you an extraordinary life that works at a high level in every important area. That's a rare thing. You are required to do your part. And the better you do your part, the better it'll be. But you're not required to do it all by yourself. And this is a big shift for me, Jordan, in the last 4 or 5 years, because I used to be the guy that, you know, thought that I had to do it all myself. I wake up every day and be a workhorse and just, you know, plow through with intention, set my goals, and just move as directly toward those goals as possible. Right. And that's how I used to be, mm-hmm. almost with blinders on. And then in the last 4 or 5 years, Missy and I have just really had a shift understanding that we live in a benevolent universe that is happy to support us. And here's what I mean from a semi-scientific perspective about a benevolent universe. This universe is set up to create and support life. Mm-hmm. It supports life. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. The deck is stacked in our favor. And especially now, I mean, 99.999% of all species on this planet that have ever evolved are gone. We made it. We barely made it. We almost didn't make it, but we did make it. And now the universe and the solar system and this world is our oyster. And we have all opportunities and possibilities open to us. So, you know, I think that it's a combination of waking up every day and understanding what it is that you want to see happen, focusing on that, and pouring energy and intelligence and action into that. And then after you've done your best, time to release it. Mm-hmm. With a faith and a trust and a knowing that the universe is going to help you achieve that goal. And Missy has really, I mean, that's almost the masculine and the feminine right there, right?
Right. Yeah, the physical, right? And the spiritual.
Yeah, and so Missy has really helped me over the last few years, especially settle down a little bit more into the feminine, which is just trust and faith and belief in this benevolent universe that we live in, and allowing and not having to figure everything out, not having to do all the work. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing for me relatively. And of course, Missy is much more set up for that,
tuned in, yeah. Her.
And so I've learned a lot over the last few years, and that's been a wonderful discovery.
I think that a key component there is connection, because, you know, when you actually hit a fork in the road, like, when do you take matters in your own hands? When do you surrender? That's when you turn to your significant other or your spouse or your peers, right? Your comrades. Like, when I'm in the thick of it with, like, business and projects, that's what's fun, you know? Like, oh, how should I have played this? Do we go full force on this or that? You know, talking with my coworkers, talking with my friends about, you know, how should I have done this? You know what I mean? I think that connection with other people is really, really key.
I agree. I totally agree with that. There's a lot of learning to be done there.
The next question, coming from Jenny. My partner hasn't gone through Lifebook and isn't really into goal setting. Any advice for this type of situation? Kind of a two-part. I feel like those are two different things.
Yeah, you know, we run into this a lot.
Because there are people that go through Lifebook that aren't into goal setting as much, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know.
What I basically think that Jenny's saying is my partner isn't into personal development.
Right.
And I am.
Right.
And that's what we've really encountered that a lot. And, you know, the danger there, obviously, is this doesn't even really need to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway. The danger there is if one of you is really committed to developing yourself and committed to self-actualization and the other isn't, the danger is that you're going to outgrow them. And it can happen very, very quickly, because in this day and age, with the tools that we have, we can grow incredibly fast, which means you can grow apart incredibly fast, which is not what we want to happen. The advice that Missy and I have, there's two pieces of advice. The first one is passive, and the second one is more active. The first one is just be patient and set a good example, and your partner may come around. Mm-hmm. If you just are patient and loving and compassionate and show what happens when you're studying and when you're improving, right?
Yes.
Well, that might be attractive enough to get that partner to turn around. So that's the first piece of advice. That's a little more passive. The second piece of advice is a little more active, and that's honest, open communication. Sitting your partner down and saying, listen, it's important to me in my life that I'm constantly improving. I don't want to do the same thing every single day of my life. I don't want to be in the same place 5 years from now. I want to live the best life that I can. I want to become my highest self, and I want to live my very best life. It's very, very important to me, and I would love for you to be on this journey with me. I'm willing to be patient and compassionate. I'd love for you to put your toe in the water. Do Lifebook, damn it.
Right. No, I know what you mean. I feel like most people respond to a good example. I feel like do you feel that the majority of people fall into that category?
I do. I mean, you know, truth is truth. Evidence is, absolutely. If if you're setting a really good example, if you're getting in better shape, and if you're you know, spiritually solid and fulfilled, if you are, you know, if you're dedicated to a career that is satisfying and rewarding and creates financial abundance for you, if you're dedicated to improving your character, I mean, how can somebody not notice that? And how can somebody not be attracted to that?
And
if,
go ahead.
If they've got a problem with that, then there's probably a deeper problem there.
That's exactly, you know what I mean? Right. That's exactly right. And Jenny, you got to remember that this is your right. In 2018, this really is your right to want to better yourself, to be able to better yourself, and to pursue this. It really is just by the virtue of the fact that you're here, the virtue of the fact that you're interested in bettering yourself and bettering the world. You do deserve
it. I love it, Jordan, 100%. Everything you said is so right. I want to tack something onto that. So I'm not sure how you're going to handle your partner, but what Jordan just said is the key. I'm not sure what the right answer for you is, but there's one thing for sure. Never play small. Never give up your own self-actualization. That's not only your right, it's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You're here now, you're awake, you're aware, you're conscious. You've been through Life Book. You know that an extraordinary life is possible for you. You know, you have not only the right, but the responsibility to make your life the best mm-hmm. it can be. That's how we show gratefulness to the universe for the life that we were given.
Yeah, it's don't sacrifice that. Yep, you got
That's
lot.
Right.
You got a lot of options. Just don't sacrifice that. Next question coming from Tasha. My life vision still feels like a pipe dream. I know that the funnel of focus helps me create it daily. What other tips do you have for beating the blues when life isn't opening up in the way you had hoped and planned? And I'd like to address this after you take a shot.
Okay. Well, the tip that I have for beating the blues if life isn't turning out the way you planned is you can process. Okay, here's what it is. It's my favorite quote. It's the smartest thing that I've ever heard anybody say in my whole life. This is from Marcus Aurelius, who was an emperor of Rome and just after 100 AD. And he said, he was one of the Stoic philosophers, and he said, if you are up, I'm going to paraphrase, obviously, this is 2,000 years old. If you are upset by something, know that it is not the thing itself that is upsetting you, but your assessment of the thing.
Wow.
And this you have the power to revoke at any moment. You're the one that gets to decide what any situation in your life means. You can be faced with a horrible situation. You just got fired from your job, or some thing just happened that you didn't expect that was cataclysmic. You can make that mean an incredible hardship where you wake up every day and say, what am I going to do about this hardship? Or you can make that a test. You can say, this is a test for me. Now, let me ask you a question. If you change the meaning in your mind from this is a hardship, this is a terrible thing, to this is a test, I'm being expected to step up right now, how do you think that's going to change your choices and actions and thoughts and daily behaviors? And how do you think that's going to affect your results?
Mm-hmm.
You have the power to make any situation in your life mean whatever you want it to mean. Viktor Frankl said, the last of the human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude in the face of any situation. This was a guy that was in a Nazi concentration camp for 3 years, and he chose his own attitude. Shocking.
It is.
Amazing.
It is shocking. I could never imagine doing it in a situation like that. And I want to share my story, which is it's a good analogy, but again, it's no Viktor Frankl, but it's all tied up in the same thing. And that's what, you know, back in 2012, I kind of realized a dream of mine, and it was, there really is no more big pipe dream than becoming a professional poker player, the world's best poker player. Back in 2012, I fell in love with the idea of becoming a poker pro. And I mean, Dad, you remember, I dedicated three
that's
straight
basically
years
like becoming a rock star.
Yeah,
you've got a 1 in 100,000 chance. Yep.
I spent 3 years reading books, doing programs,
yep.
playing. I had the boyhood enthusiasm. I had this like pristine pipe dream, and I really thought I was going to be there. And eventually, it went to the point where it just wasn't happening for me. It became very clear that it wasn't going to happen, and I had to give up on my dream. And again, it's not like I lost a bunch of money in a business and I was like hurt by this, but you have this thing that you really, really want it bad, you know, like that other question was talking about, but you have to give it up. And then what does it come down to? It comes down to your attachment. You're very attached to this outcome. I would look into, take a look at the concept in Buddhism, right? And how they look at attachment. It's very similar to what Marcus Aurelius said about assessment. It's similar to attachment, yes? So I think if you can get away from the attachment a little bit, it can not only ease the suffering, but it also makes things come easier sometimes. The less needy you are, the less attached. Sometimes that's when things begin to flow. And that's kind of...
I'm going to comment on that. That's brilliant, Jordan. I'm going to comment on that in a second. But here's one thing that I want to point out about your poker career.
Please.
Yes, you realize at some point that being a professional poker player was not going to be something that you were going to put your life into now that you have a baby and blah, blah, blah. But... I recall you winning or placing in the top three of about a dozen tournaments in the last couple of months online, and you just got an interview with Phil Hellmuth on your. So what I'm saying is, all that time and energy that you put into that is still going to pay massive dividends, even though the ultimate goal ain't going to happen, or at least not right now. But look at how much benefit you got.
Yeah, you kind of gave away
those years.
You kind of gave away the end of the story, which is I picked poker up a year ago, took it very, very, very seriously, did not have an attachment to it. I have a career. I have a nice, stable family. I went back to it because I loved it. And I paid last month's rent with poker, and I'm going to pay this month's rent with poker for the first time in my life. So
it's amazing.
Go ahead,
sorry,
please.
Go ahead.
You extrapolate on what you saw from
okay,
that, because you're worried about the failure. The failure came, but you can never know what the universe has in store.
That's exactly right. So here's what I want to tell Tasha. If your life vision feels like a pipe dream, that's not good. That you got to rectify that somehow. There are two ways to do it. You can either get yourself in a mental state where it doesn't feel like a pipe dream anymore, or you can modify your life vision. Just, you know, you might want to just make it a little bit more realistic. Take it down to earth a little bit just so you can believe it a little bit better. Pay attention to what's working in your life and what's not working. Take a look at that life vision and just make sure that when your head hits the pillow every day, you can say, I got a little closer today, not I got a little farther away.
Mm-hmm.
Adjust if necessary.
Yes.
Dial in your habits. Make sure that your daily habits are supporting that life vision. Maybe get an accountability partner. You know the strategies. You've been through Life Book. You've been through boot camp. You know, you can do this. But here's what I don't like. I don't like my life vision feels like a pipe dream.
Right.
That to me says I've either got to modify my mental state or I've got to modify my life vision or maybe a little bit of both to get it to where I wake up every day and can be excited about it because I feel like your belief in yourself, your belief in your ability to accomplish this vision that you've set for yourself is a big part of the, that's a big tool.
Oh,
you need
huge.
That tool.
Yeah. I mean, I think that might be the most important thing, right? It's all about betting on yourself, especially with these types of people, you know, life bookers, it's all about betting on yourself. So Tasha, really.
Well, Tasha, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable and open like that.
Yeah, seriously.
You're going to be able to get this together for sure.
Good luck. Next question coming from Kelly. Do you do a year-end review and plan or envision for the upcoming year? If so, can you share what your process looks like?
Absolutely. Miss and I go away every December for a week. Usually we go to a spa somewhere for a week where we're not going to be disturbed and we got, you know, we're going to get massages and we're going to be in a garden and we're going to have great food I would say every other year we do this, and like this year we'll be in Hawaii and we probably won't go to a specific place, but we dedicate a week where we just take a look at the past year and ask ourselves, how did we do? We take a look at our life books. We take a look at our life vision. We modify our life vision if necessary. Because you guys, like we talked about at the very beginning of this this podcast, you got to stay on top of your life vision. Because you change and your family changes and your life vision needs to change with it. So we modify if necessary, and then we make our commitments for the coming year. We set our annual goals.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that every year.
Do you do quarterly reviews like this, or is this like an extra cap off? Is this more of a celebration than a...
Yeah, it's absolutely, Jordan. It's a celebration. We do quarterly goal setting. We don't necessarily do quarterly life vision reviews. That's a yearly thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we'll you know, modify our life vision if necessary for the, and then ask ourselves, what are we willing to commit to for the coming year? We'll set our annual goals. Then right there, we'll set our goals for the first quarter. What are these annual goals? Are we going to, you know, try to bite off for the first quarter? And then as the year goes by, we'll continue to set quarterly goals against our annual goals.
Great stuff. Next question coming from Pima. What are you and Missy most excited about creating in 2019? Will you be traveling and inviting VIPs to join you?
Well, we're obviously most excited about our big move to the island. So that's just like the top of the list and everything that entails, setting up a brand new life 4,500 miles away from where we live right now. We will be traveling in 2019, and we are going to be inviting Lifebook members. We'll be in Croatia for Mind Valley University this summer. And you guys, if you want an awesome summer trip and you've never been to Croatia, I think it's the best kept secret in Europe. It is just extraordinary. Extraordinary.
Big statement, man. You've been to a lot of European countries.
It really is. It's amazing. And Mind Valley University is going to be going on there for a month. So we'd love to see you there. And we'll be taking a few exotic trips. I'm not sure at this point, you know, what our entire travel schedule is, but we will sure let you guys know. We love meeting Lifebook members. It's so rewarding for us to know and see firsthand the results that this work is having in people's lives. It was a big decision for us to make, to take this out to the world. We put a lot of time and energy and effort into this. It was a lot of work, and it's just so, it means so much to us to see the transformative power that this program is having on people.
I look forward to joining you guys. Julie's about that age. My daughter's about that age. So
that's
let's get going. Let's get going to Croatia, Croatia bound. Final question here coming from Jesse. For those who have had a difficult time getting out of their own everyday mindset and dropping into an intuitive space of visualizing and receiving, what's the best way you found to switch from your left brain, the physical, linear, verbal, etc., to your right brain, visual, holistic, sensory, and intuitive side?
Miss and I have very strong rituals around that. So basically how we've always done it, Jordan, is 5 o'clock or thereabouts is cutoff time. You know, we use our analytical brains all day. We'll work our asses off. And then when 5 o'clock comes, I'll just share the rituals that we've had over the years. Walk in our garden, cocktail, just come down, and you can just, when we step foot on that path, you can just feel the grounding. And the, I mean, that's, you know, Joe Mercola does a lot of research around how important it is for you to walk with bare feet on the earth, that mm-hmm. there's so much healing energy there. And then we're holding hands and we're walking through this beautiful garden every single day that the weather allows, catching up from the day. And you just automatically sink into that intuitive space. Missy takes a bath every early evening. I cook dinner sometimes and while she's taking a bath, we just have, you know, we have very strong demarc points between our left brain busy work day and our intuitive, creative, loving family, romance oriented evenings.
You punch out, you have a hard punch out time.
I do. And you know, which is, I'm proud of that. And I'll tell you why, because I have the personality that could easily fall into the area of being a workaholic.
Mm-hmm. That was the home you grew up in, man.
Yeah, it was the home I grew up in. I'll tell you what I do to compensate for the hard clock out at 5 o'clock PM is, or what I have done for the last 25 years, is I start so friggin' early.
Yeah, you clock in at 4:30 AM. So.
Yeah, I don't anymore. I'm sleeping a couple hours later than I used to. I think this is our new life.
Right,
4:30. Very, very seldom in the past have I not been up and working by 5 o'clock. And the fact that I work at home and always have makes it so that my commute is walking downstairs in my underwear to the coffee pot as opposed to being in the car for a friggin' hour.
It's not a bad point, man, when it comes to productivity.
I mean, no, that's serious. I mean, you add it up. You know, 2 hours a day
yeah.
for, you know, 250 work days. It's huge.
That's nuts. Good stuff, man. Love what's going on. Love what's going on with your life vision. Leaving your house,
Jordan.
Just before we sign off, talk about leaving this house, this thing that kind of started it all, right? The vision for the house, you know, the vision for your health, that's where life books spawned. So what kind of feelings are arising?
Well, you know, I'll back up a little bit. So yeah, I started this house when I was 28 years old. It took a few years to design and 5 years to build. And we raised our kids in this house, and we had so much love and romance, and we started so many companies, and just all of our history for the last, you know, 22 years has been here. We just redid the entire Lifebook program. We're releasing it December 12th. I hope all of you go through this program immediately upon release. Our offer is going to be amazing. You can do it for free. And with accountability, there's a little catch. You got to finish the program.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then there's coming to this house to do it is a really extraordinary experience. The whole program was filmed in this house, and it's gorgeous. Filmed in the house, in the garden. And so, yeah, Lifebook was born here. And this building has... fortunes have been made here. People have come here to do branding work and company work, and it's just, we built it to be the most creative space we could possibly, you know, put together. And so, you know, I gotta be honest with you, Jordan, I would expect to feel a little bit more sad than I do about leaving here. We're going to keep this house, and it's called the Sanctuary Healing Gardens and Spa. We're going to turn it into an event center. We're going to run all of our Lifebook sessions here and other programs. So one of the wonderful things about this building is this building has cared for us and nurtured us and healed us for the last 2.5 decades. And now it's going to be doing the same thing for other people. So I'm really happy about that. The reason that I think that I'm not as sad as it feels like I should be is because I'm just so excited about this new adventure that we're getting ready to embark on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this amazing home that we're leaving behind is going to be now working its magic on other people like it has worked its magic on us.
Oh my God, that's so true. When you're leaving a house or you're leaving a business, in your mind, it's like it's just going to sit dormant and like cobweb and like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just completely waste away. But it's like, no, life goes on. People move into your house and they love it just like you did. So no, you're right. It's similar to that. All right, man. Well, some awesome questions today. I know you got a lot going on today. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking the time to do this call. It's my favorite
Anytime. Way
to podcast.
Love you, VIPs. Love you, JB.
All right, everybody out there. You know what to do. Lifebook VIP Facebook page. Follow me at Jordan River IG. See what I got going on. Poker for Charity. A bunch of fun stuff going on over there. Huge 2019 coming up. Stay tuned. Love you guys. Love you, Dad. I'll see you all next time on the Life... I do too many freaking podcasts. I'll see you next time on the Lifebook VIP podcast.
Do you have an established business and make great income, but feel like you can never get ahead or just plain have financial confusion? Get the Business Owner's 3-step roadmap to achieve time and financial freedom without working harder or sacrificing your lifestyle. Go to themoneyadvantage.com/roadmap to get your roadmap and free training. And when you register, you'll also get access to our ultimate money finder cheat sheet that you can use to recover lost cash flow and save on taxes.